There are a lot of ways I could complicate the otherwise very simple message that we get from John the Baptist in today's gospel. The simple and clear message is, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. So I want to keep this simple. Like, in many ways, it's not confusing. Like, we know what needs to be done, and John's going to outline it for us here. But we got to think about this character, John the Baptist. His father, Zechariah, he was a priest of a priestly family. And so if you're going to expect John the Baptist to be anywhere, he would really be found near the temple where the priests would go to offer sacrifice. The temple is in Jerusalem, where Jesus has been spending a lot of time, well, will be spending a lot of time ministering, where all the people gather. Jerusalem is and was and always will be a chaotic place. It was a town of commerce. It was a town of religion. It was a town of exchange of culture, always happening in that city. So it was always chaotic, noisy. There was a lot going on, boisterous and busy. You had pilgrims in and out of town all of the time. And you'd think that'd be the place that John should go. It'd be like going to, like, New York Central, like going to the main spot, like Times Square, like proclaim to the housetops. But that's not where John goes. John knows he can't go into the noisiest place. It'd be like me going in as students are storming the court saying, repent and believe in the gospel, which I was extremely tempted to do, but I didn't do today. Because why? Like, it wouldn't bear effect. So where do we find John? Like, he's out in the desert, maybe 10 miles away from Jerusalem. And rather than go into the midst of it all, John says, for you to really prepare the way of the Lord spiritually in your soul, I need you to leave the chaos. I need you to leave the busyness. I need you to step away from all the things that you're consumed in to come out into the desert where nothing grows, where you're not going to find food, you're not going to find commerce, you're not going to find a great exchange of ideas. Like, this is the place that you get to come and be alone with God, that you get to rest for as long as you can to be one-on-one with the Lord. So many people, it's astounding. Many people, there's something about John the Baptist's character and his passion that many people are coming out because John has something that they don't. They go out into the desert, the unlikeliest of places, to go and to hear and to witness what he's preaching. And his message is clear and it's simple. He says, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. And then he gives us four images right after that. Four images. The first one, every valley shall be filled. And we got to think of this in terms of sort of spiritually. Every valley shall be filled. Every valley of your soul. Every valley where you feel like you haven't added up completely. Or maybe I feel like I'm not good enough, or I haven't done a good enough job. Or I feel a sense of shame. Or I feel kind of put down or out by the people who are around me. There's some sense of maybe even self-loathing or self-hatred. And he says, every valley shall be filled. As God comes into the world, as the Messiah approaches, every valley in your life will be filled, which is both a promise and hopefully a welling desire in the souls of those who hear him, that every valley shall be filled. And he goes on, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And these are this is our place of pride, maybe our place of self-righteousness, where we think, I've got it going on, I don't need anybody else, I'm better than she is, or he's not doing as good of a job as I am, and I should be getting recognition, and I should be getting credit. Why do people think that they're so great? And we sort of start to exalt ourselves. And Jesus later is going to say that the lowly will be exalted and the mighty will be cast down, that every mountain and every hill shall be made low, that you and I need to exercise a sense of humility if we are going to welcome the newborn king, if we are going to welcome the Messiah into my life. And humility doesn't mean I think I'm just the biggest loser on the face of the planet. Humility means I know myself. I do know my strengths, and I know my weaknesses, I know the things that I'm capable of, and I have to call on the Lord every single day because I'm not as good as He is, that He has to reign supreme, that every mountain and hill shall be made low. The third image He gives us is that the winding roads shall be made straight. The winding roads shall be made straight. All the ways that we try and go around other people, sort of take the long way around, we make excuses for ourselves, or we procrastinate, that we start to delay, and especially delay our return to the Lord, our repentance, our conversion. There's such an urgency in John the Baptist's preaching that he's calling people out into the desert. He has no shame about it. He knows that the Lord is coming, and he's trying to get everyone out there to heed his message so that they can prepare their hearts. After Jesus ascends into heaven, Paul is writing urgently. Paul is writing urgently to the people and saying, the day of the Lord is now. Jesus could return tomorrow. And yet we delay in our hearts, and we create these winding roads and say, I'll convert eventually. Like, I'll figure my life out eventually. One day that might come when I grow up or get a job or live on my own or something. It's like, we can't delay. This is the most important relationship of our lives. We are tethered, whether we believe it or not, we are tethered to the Lord. And so there's always going to be an urgency to the gospel that I can't create winding roads. Like, the Lord wants to come meet me face to face, and so I need to go straight to Him. So the valleys shall be filled, the mountains shall be brought low, and all the winding roads will be made straight. And lastly, the last image He gives us is that the rough ways will be made smooth. The rough ways. This is the recurring sin of our life, the rough ways. Right when I think I've kind of got it figured out. And then that one temptation comes in a moment of weakness, and once again I fall. And we keep going past these rough ways that trip us up rather than being made smooth. The rough ways of our relationships, sort of the angers and the frustrations, the resentments that we hold against other people, and it comes out sideways in complaining or in gossip. These are the rough ways that need to be made smooth. Because not everybody can be an inconvenience to me. Like, I can be inconvenienced, but you are never an inconvenience. That's my own stuff. If you're an inconvenience to me, it's once again a way that the Lord can smooth out the roughness that's in our souls. That all this is a spiritual analogy, that John calls us out of the noise, out of the busyness of our lives, so that we can experience the stillness of the desert. The land is arid, it's cracked, the dirt has become just totally hardened, and yet my soul can be like a sponge that's ready to receive the dew, the rain that the Lord's going to pour into it, so that I can soak all of His goodness up. But I won't be able to receive it if I'm in the clutter of our daily lives. And this privileged time of Advent is so beautiful. And if we don't take advantage of it, we're going to miss the real gift that this time is. That we are called to step away, as John calls us, for the repentance, for the forgiveness of sins, so that I can be prepared when the mountains are made low, the valleys are filled in, the winding roads are made straight, and the rough ways are made smooth. I want that to happen to my soul. And yet, the temptation is always to go against the Lord, because that's going to stretch me. Like, you guys, it's going to stretch you to grow in a relationship with God. But you weren't made for mediocrity. You were made for the simple truth of being known and loved by the Lord so that your life can bless others. John's message is so simple, and he sort of finishes by saying this, that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. You know the name of Jesus, what his name means. Yahweh saves. God saves. That the angel Gabriel appears to Mary, and we have no right to know God's name, and yet he reveals his name to us. And his name is one of salvation, that God has come to save his people, and all flesh shall see the salvation of our God. But we'll miss it if we're proud, if we're haughty, if we're too sort of soaked into our own stuff, our own ego, if we keep dodging the Lord and making excuses for ourselves in all of these ways, or that I sort of rub against so many people that I've isolated myself. But the Lord wants to make the way straight. The voice of the one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. So as we continue with this Mass and this Advent season, we come before the Lord in the Holy Eucharist, that you and I get to behold the salvation of our God. The person who gives you Holy Communion tonight says, the body of Christ. And with your own eyes, your own flesh, you get to see the Eucharistic face of Jesus Christ. And we get to behold him. All the nations shall see the salvation of our God. Jesus is Emmanuel, still in our midst to this day, as he promised. Make straight his paths. Prepare for the way of the Lord.